We continue our learning. Mishnah begins by telling us that there's no concept of a Nezirus by non-Jews. The Pasuk introducing the concept of a Nezirus says, Dabeo B'nei Yisrael, and we learn that B'nei Yisrael are Nodim B'Nozir, Ve'in Goyim Nodim B'Nozir, and therefore for Goy took a Neder Nozir, he doesn't have the laws of Nezirus, he's allowed to drink wine, and B'mitam in the Mesim and cut his hair. Nashim Va'avadim Yesh Lahem Nezirus, but a woman and an Eved Kanani also both have Nezirus. By Vashos Nozir, it says, Ish O Isha Ki Afulim Don Neder Nozir, so woman is mentioned explicitly, and it says, Va'amarta Lahem Dabel B'nei Yisrael, Va'amarta Lahem, and the Chachamim expound Va'amarta Lahem to include Avadim Kanani. Then the Mishnah says, Chomer B'nashim Mi Ba'avadim. There is, regarding the Nezirus of a woman, a Chumrah that you don't have by the Nezirus of an Eved Kanani. What is that? Shehu Kofa Es Avdo, Ve'eno Kofa Es Ishto. A person can force his Eved to violate the Nezirus by telling him, listen, I am forcing you to drink wine and Mitamel Mesim against your will. The master has the right to do that to the Jewish master, to the non-Jewish slave, but he cannot do so to his wife. He has to be made for her neder b'yom shamo. If he was not made for her neder b'yom shamo, then he cannot force her to violate the nezirus. So this is a special halacha that applies specifically to an Eved Kanani, that he, the man, the master, is kofe avdo. But then we say, kof chomer ba'avadim b'minashim. There is, regarding the nezirus of the Eved Kanani, a chumra stringency that you don't have when it comes to Nezirus Isha, which is Shumefer Nidre Ishto. Obviously, the fact that a man can revoke the Nidarim, can annul the Nidarim of his wife, B'yom Shamo, and that way annul the Nedar completely, Veino Mefer Nidre Avdo, but he cannot do Hafara. It's true we can force the Eved to violate the Nezirus, but officially he cannot be Mevatel his Nezirus. If the master doesn't choose to force him to drink wine, let's say, and then the Eved has to be Mekayim, his Nezirus. In fact, the next halacha is how this plays out, Lamasa. Hefer le'ishto, hefer lomis. And therefore, if the husband revokes the neder of his wife, her neder Nezirus, it's completely annulled. She's not a Nezira anymore. After all, becoming a Nezira is Nidre Inui Nefesh. It's regarding, I'm not going to drink wine, so that's Inui Nefesh. So therefore, the husband has the right to annul that. And that's true, even if they get divorced. It's completely annulled. But Hefer La'avdo. But if he was Mefer, now Mefer doesn't mean Mefer here, because he cannot annul, but rather he forces his Eved to violate the Nezirus, then Yatza L'Cheirus Mashlam Neziruso. Then if the Eved now is emancipated, and now he becomes a full-fledged Jew, as what happens to an Eved Kanani when he is emancipated, so now he has to finish that Nezirus that he accepted upon himself when he was an Eved, because the master does not have the authority to be made for the neder, to annul the neder completely, just to force him to violate the neder. That's very nice during the time that he is the slave of this particular Jewish master. But once he is freed, so then he has to finish his nezirus. The Rambam understands the mission a little bit differently. Not that hefer la'avdo, if he was made for or forces the eved to annul, to forces him to violate the Nezirus, then if the Eved goes to free, the Eved has to finish the Nezirus. But rather, the way the Rambam understands it is, Hefer la'avdo yotza l'cheiros, meaning if a master says to an Eved Kanani, move for Allah, I am annulling your neder, so what happens is, that now uproots or releases the Eved from him, from his authority, and he's yotza l'cheiros. And at that point, he's chayav to be mashlim his nezer, his nezirus. So that's what the Mishnah means when it says, when it comes to an eved, hefer la'avdo, not if yotza l'cheirus mashlim nezirus, but rather, hefer la'avdo, if you annul the eved's neder of nezirus, yotza l'cheirus, that itself, or the fact that you revoke the neder, what that does is, it makes him go free, and he has to finish his nezirus, because you didn't really have the right, the authority to be made for the neder. regarding the difference between the nazirus of a woman and the nazirus of an eved kanani, the Baruch Tanur makes the following point. Baruch Tanur says, "Veino kofes ishto, you cannot force your wife, you can annul her neder of nazirus, but you can't force her to violate the neder and make her drink wine," says the Baruch Tanur, "bal karcha, against her will." And then he says, "Uvishar nedarim sheyesh bahem inu nefesh, obitul malacha," and regarding other nedarim, that regarding inu nefesh, where a person takes upon himself this suffering, obitul malacha, or where there's a neder that affects the ability of the eved to work, ein harav tzarech la kofes ha'eved. There, the master does not have to force the eved to violate the nazirus. El, or in that case, it doesn't mean nazirus. In this case, it's other nedarim. So if they take some type of neder that's going to affect, he's not going to eat a certain food, or he's not going to eat fruit or something like that. So that's inu nefesh, and that's that bit of malacha that may affect the fact that he's able to work. So the baal, in this case, the master does not, the rav does not have to I'm going to force you, my eved, to violate this particular neder, and you have to eat this food. Elohim b'teilim me'aleim. Those are automatically annulled by themselves. Because the pasuk says le'esor isar al nafsho, which means what's nafsho? Misha nafsho kenu yolo. When do we say that a neder can take effect? This is regular nedar, not nazirus. Where do we say that a neder can take effect? Where nafsho kenu yolo, where your nefesh, your soul, is something that it's acquired, that you own, you possess. Yatza eved she nafsho kenu yolo. But the nefesh of the eved is kenu yo to the master, not to himself. And that's true, and that's regarding nedarim. V'chein hashvuos, continues the Baruch Tanur, kulam shenishba ha'eved. Any oath, any shvua, different than a neder, bein sheyesh b'hem inu nefesh, bein sheim b'hem inu nefesh, ein rabo tzorech l'kofo. The master does not have to force him to violate them. Shem me'aleihem b'teilim, they are annulled automatically. Sharei ein lo rishus l'atzmo. He has no rishus to himself. Avol nedarim she'ein b'hem inu nefesh, v'ein b'hem bitul malacha l'rabba. But if it's a neder that doesn't affect inu nefesh or bitul malacha, won't affect his work, then chayav ha'eved l'kayimam, the eved has to be mekayim them, and the master cannot force him to be mevatel them. So when it comes to nazirus, the master cannot annul them, but he can force him to violate them, and they are not batel automatically. That when it comes to other nedarim, so there we say that if they affect their inu nefesh or bitul malacha, they affect his work. So then, saying I'm not going to eat food, whatever it may be, I'm going to starve. So that's a neder that you don't have to do anything. You can't annul it, but you can't even, but you don't even have to force him to violate it because it doesn't exist, because they affect that relationship. And that's a neder. When it comes to a shvua, when it comes to a neder, rather, that's not inu nefesh, not bitul malacha. So there, the eved has to keep that because it's not nazirus and it's not inu nefesh a bitul malacha. We assume nazirus is a part of inu nefesh a bitul malacha. So, but it's not related to that at all. That relationship is the ability to work. So then, the eved has to keep that, and the baal can't. The master cannot force him to violate that. As opposed to a shvua, any type of shvua, even not related to inu nefesh, or bitul malacha, the master is automatically nullified, and the master doesn't have to do anything. What's the difference between the two? Why should there be a difference between the two? So, generally speaking, a neder, as we've mentioned all the way back at the beginning of Nedarim, relates to is an isur chetza. It relates to an object, not the person himself. And as opposed to a shvua, it affects the person himself. So the difference is when it comes to a shvua. A shvua, by not being an isra chetza, is nafsho. And therefore, as we mentioned the pasuk, it's lesser isra al nafsho. So that, and his nefesh doesn't belong to him. But when it comes to a neder, you would say, well, it's not on the nefesh, so it's on an object. So that he has the right to do. And in fact, it is effective unless it's an inu nefesh issue or a bitul malacha issue, which will affect his ability to work for his master. So one would have thought when it comes to nazir, hold on one second. So that should mean that the master shouldn't have to force him to drink wine anyway. Isn't that inu nefesh? So the answer is based on the fact that I need a special pasuk to include avadim. It must be that when it comes to nazirus, we uh, although Nazirus is an Inui Nefesh, and therefore should automatically be annulled and shouldn't need any bittul on the part of the master, nonetheless, that's an exception and that's going to need bittul. Okay, then the Mishnah says, we spoke about the Chomer that the Eved has over Nashim, and that is that the Eved, that he can be, that the husband can be made for his wife's neder and not made for the neder of his Eved. And we said that there's a Chumrah, that's a Chumrah that the Eved has over Nashim, right? And the Chumrah that he has, that Nashim have over Avadim, is the fact that he could be Kofeh his Eved, but he can't be Kofeh his wife. Okay, then the Mishnah says, Avar mi keneged panav. What happened here? Avar, he literally passed by the master's face. So we're talking about that the slave declared he's going to be a Nazir, and now he ran away from his master. So Rabbi Meir Omer lo yishte. Rabbi Meir says he's not allowed to drink wine. Now the halacha is, if a person ran away, so he should have to keep nazirus. Rabbi Meir though holds that no, it's the master doesn't want him to drink wine while he's running away. When he was at his master, didn't the master say, no, I want you to drink wine? He was kofa him and forced him to drink wine. And that way nullified, well, not completely enough, did not annul completely, but forced him to drink wine. He obviously didn't want him to be a Nazir. And now you're telling me, lo yishteh, he should be a Nazir? So the answer is, we assume that the master wants it to be difficult for him, the Eved, to the fact that he ran away, and the fact that he escaped, he's not allowed to drink wine, and the Naziris takes effect, that the Eved would say, oh, you know, I may as well come back to my master, because then my master can force me to drink wine. So that way he'll return. So that's why Rabbi Meir says, if the Eved ran away, so then Rabbi Meir says, well, now you're bound by that Naziris, and you're not allowed to drink wine, even though when you were with your master, he's forced you to drink wine. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Yishta, no, he's allowed to drink. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi thinks believes that the master assumes that he's gonna find the slave and he'll bring it back anyway. And therefore, once he brings it back, he wants to make sure the Eved is in good physical condition. If he doesn't drink wine, maybe he's going to be weak, he won't be able to work. So therefore, Yishta, let him drink wine, the same way the master forced him to drink wine when he was with him, because he wanted him to work well and not be weak. The same thing is true over here when the Nazir ran away. Perek Tes Mishnah Beis. Nazir Shegilach V'Nodalo Shehu Tameh. Here we're going to introduce the concept of Tumas HaTahom. Tahom really means the depths, and we'll see if something submerged all the way underneath the earth. We have Tahom at the beginning of the Chumash, Mayim Amukim, the depths, the water of the depths, and we'll see what that means regarding Halacha, but generally, when it comes to Tuma, when we use the phrase Tumas HaTahom, it's really the opposite of Tuma, what we call Tuma Yedua. Tuma Yedua is Tuma that I know about. Tumas HaTahom is Tuma that people didn't know about and probably could not have known about. So someone who became Tame Mace, the mace was hidden somewhere, and no one in the world knew about that. And then we find, and then all of a sudden, we realize, oh my gosh, the mace was submerged all the way below in this hidden place. That's Tumas HaTahom, which was not Yedua to anybody else. And we'll see that if a Nazir becomes Tamei with Tumas HaTahom before he did hit his Tiglachas HaTara, and the Tumah yet had not been exposed until after he did his Giluach, he does not forfeit his Nazirus with that type of Tumas Meis. Nazir Shegilach V'Nodalo Shehu Tamei, after he finished his Nazirus, and he brought his Karbanos. He then found that he was Tamei Meis. He became Tamei sometime during the Nazirus in Tuma Yedua, if it was Tumas Meis that people knew about, so sir. Then he forfeits his Nazirus and has to count again. Vim Tumas HaTahom, but he became Tamei Meis with Tumas Meis that no one knew about, and only then it became revealed. Eino so sir, then he does not nullify his Nazirus, doesn't forfeit the Nazirus, and doesn't have to count again. And this is Gemara Gemirila. This is Halacha Mibi Kabbalah. We have tradition that this is the Halacha. Im Ad Shelo Gilach, then Ben Kach Uven Kach Soser. But let's say the Nazir found out about this Tumah before he even did his Tiglachas. the Tiglachas Hatara, before the shaving, before that process, then even if it's Tumas HaTahom, he's going to forfeit his Nazirus. The Gemara explains that the Mishnah is following Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. We had this in the past, where he holds that Tiglachas, the shaving, is Ma'akev, meaning the whole time the Nazir doesn't do his Tiglachas, he doesn't, his Nazirus is not over. And that's why, since his Nazirus isn't over, now you found out about this Tumah, even though it was Tumas HaTahom, and certainly Tumah Yiduah, you forfeit the days. But according to the Chachamim, who holds that once you sprinkle the blood of one of the three Karbanos, so then you don't forfeit any days anymore. So, meaning, he became Tamibu Tumas HaTahom during the days of Nazirus. But he only found out about that after they sprinkled the blood of one of the three Karbanos. So even though he didn't do Tiglachas, it doesn't he doesn't forfeit the days because they were sprinkling the blood already. He began the Tiglachas Atara process, and we follow the halacha like the Chachamim found in the Rambam Hilchos Nazirus, Perek Rav Halacha Yud Zayin. So Ketzad, how do we understand as the Mishnah this halacha of Tumas HaTahom? So the Mishnah explains, Yarad Litbol Ba'ma'ara. So the Nazir, let's say, was Tamei Tumas Sheretz, not Tumas Meis. You have touched a dead mouse, let's say, or another type of Tumah, which is not Tumas Meis, Tumas Keri, let's say, and went down to into the mikvah, to be, which is in a Ma'ara, in a cave, very common, in order to be Mitahir herself from that other Tumah. Vinimtza Meis Tzaf Al Pi Ma'ara. And lo and behold, after he came out from the mikvah, on the opening of the mikvah, they found a corpse that was floating on top of the water, and there's a suffix whether he became Tamei Meis or didn't become Tamei Meis with this. Then the halacha is Tamei. This, we consider him Tamei. Why? Number one, because it's Tumah Yidua. It's Tumah that people know about and knew about. And he's in a Rishus HaYachid, Safek in the mikvah. Safek Tumah Rishus HaYachid, we mentioned in the past, Sveiko Tumah, we have to be strict. Now the Mishnah says the language of Yarad Litbol, he went down into the mikvah to teach us a Chiddush, that even the one who goes down to the mikvah is usually very careful to be not to be metame himself at all in anything. Nonetheless, here, since it's Rishus HaYachid, Sveiko Tumah, and we have to be strict, since it's Tumah Yidua. But Nimsa Mishuka Bekarka Ma'ara, but let's say the mace is found submerged in the ground of the cave, which is Tumas HaTahom, then Yarad Lahaker Tohor. Then, if he went down to the mikvah, meaning he wasn't Tameh, he went down to the mikvah to cool off. So even though in this case you'll say he's not careful not to be Metama himself because he's only going to cool himself off anyway, he's not concerned about Tumah Vatara, even so that's the Chiddush here. And the previous case, we said we have to treat him Tame even though he may be careful to try not to become Tame on his way down. Here, even if it's not so careful, because he's just going down to cool down, still Tahor. We have the right to, we say that he's Tahor. Why? Because it's Tumas HaTahom. But if he found out after Giluach, after shaving, after doing Tiglachas HaTara, that it became Tame with this mace at the time he went down. So what we're saying is that he does, so that's what it means, Tahor. He doesn't have to worry. He doesn't forfeit his Naziris. It's Tumas HaTahom, and there's no problem at all. That's when he's Yarad LaHaker. Again, Nimsa Mishuka B'Karka Ma'ora. It's Tumas HaTahom, because it's submerged below there. Then Tahor is going to be Tahor, even if he wasn't so careful about Tumah Vatara. Why? Because it's Tumas HaTahom, even though he is in a Rosh HaSayachin. Litaher mi Tumas Meis. But let's say he went down, he became Tameh with Tumas Meis, and went down to go into the mikvah in the Ma'ara, and then we found a Meis which was submerged in the Karka HaMa'ara, then Tameh the Nazir is Tameh. Meaning, even if he didn't find out about this until after he counted his Naziris and did the whole Tiglachas HaTara process, he's going to be so serious Naziris, even though this was Tumas HaTahom. Why should that be? So the answer is because Shechezkas Tamei, because we are Mamid the Nazir in his Chazak and say, listen, he was Tamei already. He had a Chezkas Tumah, and he has a Chezkas Tumah until he goes down to the mikvah and he removes himself from that type of Tumah. So only when it comes to someone who has a Chezkas Tara do we say that the Tumas HaTahom doesn't take him out of that Chezkas Tara. But someone who has a Chezkas Tumah, so then we say he remains in that Chezkas Tumah. Because literally there are legs to the matter. It's indicated. It seems just logical to assume that the person should retain that original chazaka. And therefore, such a person is going to have the status of being tamei. Now realize this is only because he was tamei meis. So it's that type of tumah that we assume he still has. Now obviously tumas meis, just going to the mikveh, is only part of the purification process. Then you go to the mikveh and you start your nezirus count again. But this is, even though it's tumas hatahom, we presume that you became tamei from it. Why? Because of this concept of chazaka. We assume that whatever it is, you were tamei mace already. So we assume that you became tamei from this mace as well. This would not, remember, when we spoke about the person who became tamei from a sheretz, let's say, so there we ruled differently when it came to tumas hatahom. But here, because he has the cheskas tumas mace anyway, so we assume that going to the mikvah, which is part of the purification process, is not effective at all. He became tamei now again, because cheskas tamei tamei, v'cheskas tohor tohor, sheraglayim ledavar, that matter seems to be indicated based on that chazakah.